Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning. Welcome to Cone and Hensley. That is Ryan G. Hensley. I am Grant L. Cone, where the L only presents itself when I'm streaming with Ryan. Ryan, how you doing?
Why does the L present itself when you're streaming with me? That sounds bad.
Because you're like Ryan G. Hensley, so I need to be Grant L. Cone.
It sounded like this was a loss as a stream. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's why I don't go by the L, why I don't use the L. But from now on, I'm taking the L today. Yeah. We're going to be talking about Debo Samuel, who took to Twitter. I like when players take to social media to say things when nothing's going on. So, Debo, first of all, thank you. We're also going to talk about ESPN's top 10 quarterback ranking, and we're going to project some awards for the team that you guys love. So let's start with Debo. He fired back at the critics, not me, because I'm very pro-Niners, but the critics who say they should have won a Super Bowl by now. And you know who they are. He says, I wish MFers would stop acting like it's so easy to get to the Super Bowl and win it. I don't think y'all really get it and understand for real, for real. And then there's an emoji with his
zipper.
It's not going to say any more than that because he's already said too much.
Yeah. I think he was telling us to zip it. Yeah.
Unless you've actually been to a Super Bowl yourself. Okay.
And the MF stands for Mighty Faithful.
Yeah. I think that's what it means for sure.
Yeah.
The Mighty Faithful.
Yeah. So the first thing about it is you're asking why now? Why is this coming out? And I imagine it has something to do with the receiver show and response to it. I'm not really sure. Interesting timing on this one. The other thing that strikes me is, who thinks it's easy? I don't know anyone that thinks winning a Super Bowl is easy. So I don't understand where that's coming from. You know, we have high expectations of the 49ers, high hopes for the 49ers. When they go to the Super Bowl, we want them to win. We think they should. They should have won the last one. They gave that one away. But nobody thinks it's easy. And that's one thing I think is a point that needs to be made. I don't know anyone that with half a brain that thinks winning a Super Bowl is easy. So I'm not sure what this was all about. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, it's not the strongest thing to say. It's sort of like saying, hey, we don't exactly know what it takes to win a Super Bowl, but we've come very close and we want a little credit. I mean, no fan really wants to hear that. Fans want to hear like, we're so unsatisfied and we got a bitter taste in our mouth and we know what it takes. He's kind of saying like, hey, we've been there twice and I don't know that we can make it back a third time, guys. It's so hard to get to the Super Bowl and let alone win it. So why don't you give us some credit? Also, I think it's kind of is in response to Brandon Ayuk a little bit. Because Ayuk is like the guy, his stance all offseason is, you know, he'd like to play for the 49ers, but he could go elsewhere. Teams like Washington, what's the difference? It's not like the Niners are Super Bowl champions. And the reason they're not Super Bowl champions is partially because they didn't choose to feature Brandon Ayuk in the Super Bowl. They chose to feature Debo, and that didn't work out. So the guy who got 11 targets is like, hey, it's not that easy. And the guy who got 6 is like, yeah, well, maybe if I got 11, we would have won.
Yeah, that's the thing is he himself had a great season. Like, I was watching that receiver show. I don't know if you watched it yet, but I haven't watched the full. I think I have like 2 episodes left. Love the season. I love that Eagles game. Getting to relive that Eagles game and how well Debo did in that game. Got the hat trick, 3 touchdowns, 2 receiving, 1 rushing. After talking trash about the Eagles players, he comes out and balls out. So, I mean, I think we give a lot of credit. I was really excited after that game. I gave the 49ers a lot of credit for what they were able to do. But Debo himself struggled in that Super Bowl, going 3 out of 11 targets. It wasn't his best game. And that's just the reality. That's the truth of the matter. And we're going to speak on that. Doesn't mean we think it's easy, but that definitely was a winnable game. They had the better roster. They had multiple chances to win it, and they didn't. So that part can be criticized. Doesn't mean we're taking away what they were able to do to get there or how good of a team they were or what great of a season it was. But they got to finish the thing. And that's the expectations when you're a 49er. This is a historic franchise with 5 Super Bowl wins. And it's been almost 30 years since they've done it. Fans want them to do it again, especially if you continue to get close, but you're unfortunately unable to finish. But again, nobody said it was easy, Debo.
Yeah, but it's not just Debo. I feel like this is sort of the sentiment that's coming from the organization, from Debo, from Kyle, from Jed. I was next to Jed when he said this at the owners meetings. He said, there's really way too much stigma surrounding losing the Super Bowl. Like, it's almost seen as worse to lose a Super Bowl than to not make the playoffs. And we need to change that. It's like, I mean, you can't. It is what it is. There is stigma losing the Super Bowl. Everyone watches that game in the country. Everyone remembers who lost. And it hurts more than losing the Super Bowl. More than not making the playoffs. So it seems like he's just another one in this team being like, you know what? We need to find a way to celebrate second place. It's like a participation trophy argument. And I don't like it.
It's an interesting question, honestly. Is it better to miss the playoffs than to go that far and lose? I mean, it's not. It is good to see them in the playoff games. But from a building your team standpoint, you get a higher draft pick if you don't make the playoffs. So in some ways, it is worse. But not that I would take it back. I'd rather them go and compete and have a chance to win. I just don't understand who he thinks – well, one, who's he talking to? Is he talking to fans, content creators? Who's he speaking to? And did those people say it was easy? I don't think anyone thinks it's easy. And I think everyone, most Niner fans, are grateful for how good the team is. But we also expect you to win, or we hope that you win a Super Bowl. And that's the goal. That has to be the goal every year. It can't be to get there. It has to be to win the thing. And I know it is for these guys. But again, nobody said it was easy, man.
Yeah, it just people did say it was a missed opportunity, though, because a lot of people said that the Niners were the best team. They were 2-point favorites. A lot of people picked them to win the Super Bowl. Chiefs were kind of going through a transition year, and the Niners thought they had it, and they found a way to lose. And that doesn't mean that they're going to win one soon. It means they lost an opportunity. They missed a big opportunity, and that's why losing the Super Bowl is so painful. Like the team, like the Lions loses the NFC championship game, or the Packers losing the divisional championship game and say, we're ahead of schedule. Just wait until next year. We're steadily improving, where the Niners can't really look themselves in the mirror and honestly say that. They're still, part of them is feeling like, man, that team last year should have been the one.
It should have. And that's the thing is, no one said it was easy, but it's going to get harder this year. You would think, right? Like, the roster to me is as good or better than they were last year, but so is a lot of the rosters. And
so is Detroit, so is Philly's, so is Kansas City's.
Right. It felt like that was the opportunity to do the thing. Kansas City, being better. It's a scary idea to think about. They might be able to be the first team to three-peat here. So, I mean, I think we're all disappointed. I think the players are disappointed. Coach and staff's disappointed. Obviously, the fans, we're disappointed too. Doesn't mean we don't appreciate how hard it is to get to there or what they've been able to do, but it's not the goal. We're not going to celebrate second place. I know I'm not.
I just realized that you no longer can stream to Twitter unless you're a Twitter premium user.
You got to go premium, dude. You get paid. You get paid to.
Do you get? You is it have, worth it?
Do you do? Well, you're do not you, paying. I met, I think like 2 months ago, I like $127.
$127. All right. Hey, in that case,
fill my gas tank, bro. You know.
Dave Barclay says, "Two best in the biz, love ya." Hashtag thank play you, Mason trade Kyle. Slide 23 says, "Thanks, great show. It gets me through hard times." Thanks, Slide 23.
You're up. Hard times will go away, brother. You'll get through it.
Yeah. Okay. Here's something for the hard times. ESPN's top 10 quarterbacks. Let's talk about it. Where's Brock in this list? Tell me.
Well, here's the funny thing. Let's be clear. It's not really ESPN's list. They did the research. This is a list based on the coaches, executives, and scouts' opinions. So coaches, executives, and scouts within the NFL are surveyed, and they give their results, right? So it's not just some random dude in ESPN making this list. This is the NFL players, or not the players, coaches, executives, and scouts giving their opinions. And you asked me where Brock Purdy is on this list, and he's not on it.
Oh, he's not on it.
He's not on it. The list is like this, brother. It's Mahomes 1, Burrow 2, Allen 3, Jackson 4, Stafford 5, Herbert 6, Stroud 7, Rodgers 8, Goff 9, and Dak 10. That's the list.
Now, I got some problems with that list. Let's go through it. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes 1, no problem there. Joe Burrow 2.
Why? I like that one.
I don't like that. He might be the most overrated quarterback in football.
Who's your number 2?
Josh Allen. No hesitation.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. Like, Joe Burrow is very good, but what really separates him from
Kirk Cousins?
Lamar Jackson. I mean,
yeah.
He's hurt all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Burrow. Yeah, I don't get Burrow too. I usually have Mahomes 1, Allen 2. And then it's really debatable. I thought Rodgers is pretty low on this list. I'm not a big Rodgers fan off the field, but on the field, he's one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen play the game outside of his last year in Green Bay. And we'll see.
Where'd they put him again?
They put him at 8.
Yeah, I think that's where this list gets kind of hard to justify. Who's 7? Stroud?
Stroud is above Rodgers, which is like, I love Stroud. I think he's great. I think he's going to be, I think he is elite. He's on my top 8. But Rodgers should be, as of right now, above Stroud based on what he's done in this league.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that you love Stroud. I love Stroud. I think it's fair to believe that he'll become a top 3-2 quarterback in the near future. He'll prove it. But right now, he's a guy who has played one season. So to put him at 7 over Rodgers and Dak feels a little premature, although he very well could prove it in like 6 months. Right now, if you put Stroud 7, then that opens up a whole can of worms because it's like, well, then where's Brock? Because Brock's played a year and a half, and he's been to a Super Bowl, and his numbers are better than Stroud. So that's why I just don't like putting people with like one really special season on a list like that. Like, they need to do it in 3 years, 2-3 years. Because even Brock's been 2 seasons. It's like, you got to do it one more time.
Here's the thing. I have Stroud in my elite list, top 8. Somewhere, but I'm not putting him over Rodgers, who's multiple MVPs, won a Super Bowl, until Rodgers shows me he's done. And he may as well, he might be. Really, it seems like his mental focus is gone. And that's the key problem for Rodgers at his last year in Green Bay. And it could be the problem for him this coming year. We'll see. Stafford, I have him up here as well. He should be in this top elite list, but he's getting old. Who knows what he's going to look like this year? Those two guys could fall off completely off this list, but I understand him being in this elite category right now. Goff and Dak, to me, I think Dak and Goff would both be really good on the 49ers.
Yeah.
But Goff is a statue. And so Dak Prescott. Yeah, and well, now he is. And
now he is.
He seems to crumble in those crunch time situations. But you got to think, if they were on the Niners, they'd be pretty good. So that's where it ends, right? After eight, for me, when you start talking Goff and Dak and Cousins, I actually have Cousins above Goff and Dak, to be real. But that's where it comes to debatable, right? Where it's like, okay, now they're all kind of in that range. And I think Brock should be right there.
Well, I think what's interesting is, like, you talk about system quarterbacks and stuff. Like, Goff and Dak, they're both really good if they have good pockets, clean pockets, because they both have really good arms. But in the NFL, you don't always have clean pockets. And on the Niners, you rarely have clean pockets. So Brock's ability to make a free rusher miss, escape pressure, extend plays, be creative, that's something that Goff and Dak don't have as well. And I think it's really valuable. So I think a lot of times people focus on arm strength. Yeah, man, Goff has it, but no one really wants Goff like that. I mean, he's a B quarterback, B plus, because he can't ad lib. I think Brock's ability to ad lib is somehow underrated and should get him ranked higher. And if Stroud can be top seven, then I'll see why Brock can't. Because again, if this is like handicapping who you think might win the MVP this year, then I could definitely see Stroud being a good bet for that. But I could see Brock being a good bet for that too.
I think I have Stroud above. So I'll be honest, maybe I have some bias here. I had Stroud as my favorite quarterback coming out of the draft. I said he's going to be good, and he's damn good. Right about it, and it's good to
he's
be right
good.
Sometime. Yeah. And so maybe I'm a little biased because I called it, and I see him doing great. But when I watch Stroud, he's just very – actually reminds me of Rodgers, very natural thrower of the football. It just looks easy for him, and he can make every throw on the field no problem. And so that's why I think Stroud's going to be – why I thought he was going to be good and why I think he's going to continue to be – one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. And that may be the only thing I see him have over Brock, to be real, is Brock is really good. Really good. But he can't really make every throw on a field. If we're being completely honest, he doesn't have the best arm, whereas Stroud does. And I think that's the separator between Brock.
Yeah, I think Stroud's a little bit better at everything than Brock is. But still, I mean, like, I to not put Brock in the top 10, it's like, oh, because of his supporting cast? Maybe. But I still feel like that doesn't give Brock enough credit. And I'm not even the biggest Brock guy. But his mobility is, I don't feel like it gets talked to. Everyone always wants to talk about his processing and his decision. He's not Drew Brees. He doesn't necessarily get the ball out of his hands super quickly. He gets to the last receiver in his progression a lot because he's confident and fearless and willing to hold the ball a little bit longer if he has to, which I think is cool. He does want to be a gunslinger, not necessarily a point guard. He can do that if he needs to.
One of the best things about Brock is, to me, that I noticed from his preseason, his rookie year, is he sees the field really well, especially for a guy who's not that big, right? He sees the field like he's 7 foot tall somehow. He just knows the game, knows where the guys are supposed to be, knows the offense. That's one of the best things I noticed about Brock. He just knows where everyone is at all times. He sees the field really well. And you see a lot of guys don't do that. Like you talked about, he goes through all his progressions. He knows where all his guys are. First, he's not open. He moves on second, moves on third. Whereas we had Jimmy, if that first or second read wasn't open, we're screwed, right?
And so, a panic attack on the field.
Yeah.
Like Brock gets more confident as the play goes on. It's really his best quality. And it's to me, it's something that you have to have to be ever become an elite quarterback. Goff doesn't have it. He number eight, number nine is the peak for Goff. Cousins doesn't have it. So he's right at that level too. I don't even think Tua has it, but Purdy does. So the fact that he has not the strongest arm, you know, neither did Joe Montana. Not saying he's Joe Montana, but like that's a limitation you can overcome. Being a statue, I mean, you better freaking be Peyton Manning. You better. Jared Goff just isn't.
What does Brock need to do, in your opinion, to elevate into that upper echelon, to be an elite quarterback in this league?
Just keep doing what he's doing, stay healthy, and once the supporting cast inevitably gets weaker, prove that you can make lesser talented players better. That's pretty much what he has to do. If he can get his arm a little stronger, that'd be great. But like, we've seen quarterbacks do that over time incrementally.
Yeah, and I don't even know. I mean, he could probably get his arm stronger, but I don't think it's hindering him. Like I was worried about two seasons ago, like after watching his rookie year, I was wondering like maybe it's going to hinder him because he did. People don't like this, but he did dink and dunk his rookie year. You just look at the numbers. His last year, not at all, and that's what made me shut up with that stuff. So his arm talent really isn't an issue for Brock. What I'd want to see him do to elevate to that next level is, one, really just take control of this offense and be bigger than Kyle. I know that's hard to do, and it might not happen until he gets paid, but he needs to be able to audible his protections, audible the plays, take control. And Kyle has yet to allow him to do that. He didn't want Jimmy to do that, and maybe that's understandable. But for Brock to reach that elite level, he needs to be so good that Kyle just gives up on trying to hold him back with that stuff, and Brock just takes total control, audibles plays, dials up different routes, changes the protection scheme, doesn't rely on the center to do that, so that he doesn't have 9 free rushers coming after him, and that he can find a quick, easy, hot route based on the blitz or the pressure that he's seeing. I think that would be the thing that would raise Brock's level a little bit. And really, it's just that clutch stuff, right? If Brock, 3rd and 4, 2 minutes left in the Super Bowl, if Brock converted that, I'd probably be calling him elite right now, right?
Right.
The fact that he wasn't able to change things up and he wasn't able to convert it and he wasn't able to seal the deal with the Super Bowl, that's like, okay, he's young. I'm going to give him time, but hopefully he can get to that next level this coming season.
Also, can he maintain these numbers? Like, he just had MVP numbers, but so his yards per attempt through the roof, that's kind of a function of the system and the weapons, the yards after the catch. His completion percentage through the roof, that might have been just Brock. He seems very accurate, but there are a lot of open throws in this offense. And then the touchdown interception ratio was like 3-1. That's phenomenal. It's great. How much of that, the touchdowns, are him, or how much of it is the supporting cast? And his interception percentage was kind of high. No one really cares because he threw so many touchdown passes. But like, once he gets a little bit older and the book's better on him and his supporting cast isn't as good, is he still going to be throwing 30 touchdown passes and 11 picks a year? Or is it going to be more like 22 and 15? Because if that's what he is, then that's not an elite quarterback. And it's like, if you watch Brock closely last year, you know that they had a bunch of potential interceptions dropped. So over time, is that going to even out, or is he just going to be that guy who defenders can't quite intercept?
You know, the real stat that I care about is the touchdown interception ratio. Beyond that, I don't really care. Like, I don't really care about statistics. There's quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, for example, his second year in the NFL, I believe. What, he had 5,000 yards, 50
touchdowns.
It's just insane. But I don't think anyone would say right now that he's a worse quarterback because the statistics are worse. He's probably better.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times we hear that argument, especially in Twitter world, where they just throw up a stat and stat. Like, I don't really care about that. It's the eye test. It's that clutch part, right? Statistically, like, I don't care what your EPA is or your – I don't care about all that stuff. Are you making the plays that are available? Are you elevating your team? Are you winning games? Are you – not turning the ball over? Those are really the what I care about more than statistics. And there's a big chance that Brock Purdy falls off in some areas statistically. I think he'll have more touchdowns. I think he'll have more interceptions. I think his completion percentage might go down, but he might have more yards. Like, I think all those are possible. He could see a fall off in statistically, but if he has more control of this offense, he's more clutch, then he's a better quarterback.
My egotistic aura says, what a crock of poop.
I think he's talking about that list. Hopefully.
Yeah, it was 10 years ago. 10 minutes ago. Connor N says, who cares about quarterback rankings? We clearly have a good one, plus a great coach. They'll figure it out. Let's look at this new D line. Okay, Connor. It's Nick says, Ryan, your takes have been horrible.
Great.
What about your takes, Nick?
I appreciate it. Thanks, Nick. Thanks for paying to talk about it. Most people just say it in the comments for free, but you paid to tell me, so I appreciate it.
Let's talk non-quarterbacks. Let's play a game. If the Niners could steal one non-quarterback, whichever one they wanted,
yeah,
from another team, who would it be?
So, shout out to Connor, 2 super chats ago. Let's look at this new D-line. For me, like, here's the thing. 49ers offensive line is one of the weakest positions. Really right tackle, center. I think the guards are cool. Left tackle is good. Center, right tackle, they really need. So it was very hard for me as a guy who's been preaching about the offensive line for years. It was very hard for me not to choose Poole from the Lions, the right tackle. That's kind of who I wanted to go with. But when I look at this team, they were very successful on offense despite having a bad right tackle and center. They were still very successful on offense, scoring 30-plus points a game. But where did they struggle stopping the run? And I want the 49ers to go get, if I could steal any player, it's Vita Vea from Milpitas High School, I believe. Vita Vea just stuffing the run in the middle, just taking up bodies, being an immovable object, to me would change this 49ers defense tremendously. The 49ers need to get back to stopping the run. Vita Vea is an absolute presence in the middle that, I mean, who are you going to double at that point? You got Nick Bosa. You got Vita Vea. To me, he would be a huge upgrade for the 49ers defense. Change the whole defense, honestly.
I had no idea he went to Milpitas High School. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
All I knew about Milpitas until now, right now, was Dave and Buster's. Which is a great time.
Right.
I mean, I love Dave and Buster's, but now Vita Vea as well. Okay, that's a great pick. And I like it because Niners could have had him.
Yeah. That's why I hate it.
They could have had him, but they traded down for Kinlaw. But trading down for Kinlaw allowed him to get Ayuk, who still hasn't signed his extension with the team. That's okay. I'm going to go with someone else the Niners could have had. Penei Sewell.
That's who my second place is.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'm glad we're on the same wavelength with that one. I mean, he's arguably the best offensive tackle in the league. He plays right tackle. Having him and Trent Williams would give the Niners the offensive line they need to win a Super Bowl. Be hard to lose with that one.
That's a top. Just adding him would make the 49ers top five.
And they could have had him.
Offensive line. And they could have had him. Another guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because when they made that pick with that trade up, you're thinking like, man, you have to take a quarterback because it's the only player who could justify the spot. But really, like, if they had taken Penei Sewell, they would have gotten F's the day of. But now you'd wind up with a Hall of Fame right tackle. People would be like, yeah, it's fine. That's a good trade. You got a Hall of Fame right tackle. Yeah. As opposed to a backup quarterback, which in retrospect, that was the Niners' options. Hall of Fame left tackle, all-pro wide receiver, or your pick of a backup quarterback. Now, maybe Trey Lance changes that narrative down the line. He hasn't really failed yet. But right now, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, Penei Sewell, man. It was between him and Vita Vea. Shout out to the Polynesians. I would take either one of those guys, throw them on this team. This team would be way better, man. You know what's crazy to me? My number one priorities in this draft were right tackle, center, and defensive tackle. And the Niners didn't. They got a guard in the third round, which is great. I'm excited to see what Pooney can do. But they didn't really go after. They could have got Jackson Powers Johnson 31st. They didn't. They could have got DeJuan Jones prior in the year instead of a kicker. They didn't. So they continued to neglect that position. But they didn't get any defensive tackles, which was a surprise to me. Hargrave, old dude. He didn't have a great year last year. Hopefully he can bounce back and be the player that he was when he was on the Eagles. We'll see. He admitted that he was out of shape. And so maybe he comes in better shape and he's the old Javon Hargrave that we've seen before. I'm still curious about Elliott and Collins, the guys they brought in to replace Armstead. I don't know what that's going to look like. So I was hoping they would go after that in the draft a little higher. But yeah, I think you and I nailed it. If you're talking offense, Penei Sewell. If you're talking defense, Vita Vea. Those are the guys I would want the 49ers to add.
I love it. Okay, let's project some awards for the upcoming season. Who will the 49ers defensive player of the year be? 2 years ago, it was clearly Bosa. Last year, I would say it was Fred Warner. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, who's going to be this year?
That is tough, man. I didn't prepare this, so I'm thinking on the spot. But, I mean, it's highly likely it's one of those two guys. But I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm gonna steal your guy. We didn't talk about this, but I think I'm gonna steal your guy.
I think you are.
Hufanga.
Oh no, I was gonna go a different guy. I like that one though. Right, that's good. a good one.
I like it. I want Hufanga to have a comeback season. I notice a lot of content creators, media fans are writing off Hufanga because of his injury, and they're forgetting that all pro season that the guy had. He led the team in takeaways that season. He was right up there in tackles. I think he was like third overall in tackles that same year, third or four. So I'm going to predict an amazing comeback season by Talanoa Hufanga, and he becomes the main reason why the 49ers are finally able to stop the run again. And he leads the team in takeaways, has a phenomenal season, earns that bag, whether here or somewhere else, probably somewhere else, unfortunately. So I'm going to go with Huff.
If he's their defensive player of the year, the Niners are going to have the number one defense in the league. Another one who, well, I'm not going to go with this guy. I'm going to save him for later. Okay. I'm going with another defensive back, though. Treverius Ward. He really, the second half of last year, became like a shutdown cornerback. They challenged him to shadow the other team's best receivers. He did that really well. I mean, he led the league in pass breakups. He had 5 picks. He was elite last year. He's 28. I think he's got another elite season in him. And now that Nick Sorensen's the defensive coordinator, you got Brandon Staley in, there may be even new creative ways.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy. In order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GUNDRYMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To use this guy. And Bosa, I question whether he's ever going to have the seasons that he had before he got his contract, because I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not going to just call someone. I'm just not sure what makes him tick. And there's some people who are just have crazy motors because they're like that, or people who have crazy motors to get the bag. And I know which one his brother was, but I don't know which one Nick is. I just think I do. So I'm not picking Nick. And then at linebacker, I think Fred Warner, as great as he is, benefits a ton from Dre Greenlaw, and not having Greenlaw out there is going to expose Warner to a degree. Not like that he's not good, but it's, I don't think he's going to be their best player. I think he's going to be Ward.
I mean, I think you could go with Nick Bosa and Fred Warner if you wanted to be safe. I think there's a chance that both those guys have great seasons. They're great players. They're top five at their position. Warner might be the best in the NFL. Bosa was a couple years ago, not last year. So, I mean, you could easily make an argument for those guys being the defensive player of the year for the 49ers this coming season. But I wanted to make it interesting and root for my guy Huff. I really think he's a little underrated by the fan base. So his first year, everyone was writing him off. And, you know, I know my guy, it's Nick, thinks my takes are horrible, but I was one of the only people saying, have patience with Huff. I see something in him. He's going to have a great second year. He had a great second year.
So Huff is going often like at the center of the action. Like he's right. Either the guy making the play or giving up the play. And sometimes people remember the ones he gives up a little bit more, but all I know is when he went down last year, the defense fell off. Yes. So I think he clearly has an overwhelmingly positive impact on the defense.
Especially in the run games, turnover, like huge. And so I'm gonna go all out on the limb again for Huff, man. You guys wrote him off his rookie year, and some of you guys are writing him off coming off this injury. I'm going to go on the limb for Huff and say he's going to come back and have a great season and be at least in the contention for the defensive player of the year for this team.
Okay. Before we move on to the offensive player of the year projection, let's make some sleeper projections because it's that time of the day. So as you know, this time of year, eventually we're going to be making Niners projections, but right now, it's WNBA season. I don't want to talk about baseball. Oh, wait. Hold on. Oh, man.
I went away.
Give me 1 second. We'll come back to this. I have to get it back on the screen. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Let's do what we said we were going to do. Offensive player of the year. Who do you think it's going to be?
I'm going to say Brock Purdy, man. Offensive player of the year for most teams is your quarterback. Brock Purdy's going into year three. He's going to get better. I can't doubt Brock Purdy that he's going to improve. He's improved every time we've seen him from his rookie year to his sophomore year coming off a UCL injury, improved. I fully expect him with a full offseason, being healthy, more confidence. It's a contract year for Brock Purdy. I fully expect him to take this team by the reins and be that guy that most quarterbacks are on these teams. And he's going to be the quarter. He's going to be the offensive player of the year, man. That's my prediction. Brock Purdy. He should be.
Okay, I'm going to go real conservative here. I would never predict these things, but since I have to make a prediction here, I'm going to get cautious. So I'm not going to pick Purdy. I'm not sure he's going to make it through the season unscathed. And that's just playing the odds here. Niners get quarterbacks hurt a lot. So I don't know about this one. Also, McCaffrey, like, I'm just playing the odds here. Older running back, gotten the ball a ton. Is he going to get hurt this year? Debo always gets hurt, but it's usually for like 2 or 3 games. He seems like he's more motivated than he's been in a lot. The last time Debo was this motivated, he was their offensive player of the year. Put it that way. The last time he was this motivated, not only was he was their offensive player of the year, he was first team all pro and the closest thing I've seen to a MVP candidate wide receiver in a long time. He put that team on his freaking back. So I'm going to go with Debo.
I think that's a good one, man. I've been saying that, like, you can kind of see it in him. It is a contract year for him, even though it's not, it is. You can see it in him that he's taking his fitness very seriously. He looks like he's in one of the best shape we've seen him in. He knows what it's about. this is the thing. I don't doubt your Debo take. I think if Brock Purdy stays healthy all year, it'll be Brock. But I could see Debo having an amazing season. Last time he was playing for money, he was the best player on offense for this team last time he was playing for money. So I could definitely see it happening again. I think we talked about this before, a few weeks ago maybe. But I think this is the secret to this season. If Brandon Ayuk doesn't sign an extension, he's in a contract year. Debo, contract year. Brock Purdy, contract year. Aaron Banks, contract year. On the defensive side, Hufanga, Lenore, Charvarius Ward, all contract year. Greenlaw, you got a lot of guys playing for the bag this year. And maybe that's more motivation. Obviously, Super Bowl is probably their goal. But money, I mean, when you're in the NFL, money is your number one priority first and foremost. And then it's Super Bowl. You want to get that bag. And you got a lot of guys playing for the bag. Debo is one of them. So I respect that pick, and I understand it. And I think everyone being out of contract is going to be huge for the 49ers this year. That could be the missing piece that they need to go all the way.
Let's say, you know, history repeats itself and the 49ers starting quarterback gets hurt and misses some time. 8 games. I don't know. Let's say that happens. All of a sudden, Debo's importance skyrockets because whoever the next quarterback is going to be leaning on Debo heavily. Screen pass to Debo, pass behind the line of scrimmage. And then if McCaffrey goes down, Debo's importance multiplies because now he's playing running back again a lot. So we'll see. We'll see. He hasn't had to be at like the focal point of the offense the last couple of years because everyone's been healthy, but he's just one injury away from the team leaning on him again.
If Brock goes down for 8 games, a knock on wood, and Dobbs is your quarterback, I mean, what's their record in 8 games? 4-4.
For Kyle's sake, better be good, because they gave away a backup quarterback last year that they liked. They said he had a bright future. They traded him to Dallas. He's like, he's got a bright future. We're just trying to do right for him. Okay. Well, then great. Well, then your replacements better be good. You got a fourth round pick. You got Malik Mustafa, who looks ripped, but doesn't play quarterback, unfortunately.
Big Malik Mustafa fan.
Big Malik.
Here. Yeah.
Okay, let's do the sleeper picks. It is time. Can we start with Angel Reese?
Sure, we should.
Shall we? Okay, Angel Reese. Rebounds.
Is there a double-double option?
Nope. Points. No, she's not in a slump with rebounds. She has 16 the last game.
Yeah.
Points or rebounds?
Go back. Let me see the
both
points.
Both at 12 and a half.
I think she's more likely to get 12 and a half rebounds. So you can go under on the points or over on the rebounds.
Do you want to be a hater or do you want to be positive?
Positive.
Yeah, you do. Okay, let's go more on the rebounds. I like that. Let's see if we can find a little Caitlin Clark action. Is she there? Nope. Did she play last time? That's too bad. I always pick over on the assist with her. That's okay. I'll let it slide. Taurasi. Points. She had 6 in the last game. Damn. 6 points from Taurasi.
I'm going to say over.
She's not. She's too good.
She's due.
She's due. Okay, yeah. I like that.
Chinity.
It's like Chinity Carter.
But it's a Chinity.
She had 7 points in the last game, but she's averaging closer to 18. What do you think? Is she due?
She's due, man. Look at her. It's Chinity Carter. Come on.
Due. Okay, last one. Let's make this one count. Kelsey Plume, for sure. Mm. 19.5 points. What are we thinking?
Well, if you're looking at the trends, there's not much to go on here. I would say, let me be a hater on Plume.
We got to pick against one of these wonderful ladies.
Yeah, I'm going to hate on Kelsey Plume and say,
sorry, Kelsey. It's just the way it is. There's nothing
5'8"? No.
No. No. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So those are going to be the picks. Angel Reese, more on the rebounds. Diana Taurasi, more on the points. Chinity Carter, more on the points, of course, because they're both due. And then Kelsey Plume.
Over due to fail.
Flex, submitting the entry. Boom, simple as that. Download the app, use promo code CONE or the QR code on the screen, and you'll get a deposit match up to $100. And if you want to just deposit no money and get it doubled, hit me up. I'll Venmo you 10 bucks. Wager that. Then it's 20 bucks. Then you win. It could be like 60 bucks. I mean, it's crazy.
You could change your life. You could change your life.
It'd change your life. I'm over here changing lives. Not that big of a deal. Although
double
it might
$10, like 10 times, and you're balling.
Yeah. That's pretty much, yeah. So, I mean, that's just finances, right? That's economics.
It's retirement plan right there.
Right there. Yeah. Ryan wears many hats. One of them is financial advice, and that was great.
Okay. Yeah. That, if I was really giving real, if I'm wearing my financial hat, that's probably not the advice I'm giving, just for the record.
The iFinance hat? I love that hat.
Yeah.
Okay. We've done offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year. Who do you think the 49ers rookie of the year will be?
I want to say Malik Mustafa, but I'm not going to because I think Jair and Huff are going to get a lot of run, and he might not get his chance this year as much as I want him to. So I'm going to say Pooney. I'm going to say Pooney.
Interesting. I think
he's going to work his way into the lineup by week 4 or 5 and become a factor on this team for the rest of the season. That's my pick. Dominic Pooney. I mean, you could say Ricky P. I think that's a good choice. Kind of depends on what happens with Brandon Ayuk, but I feel like if Brandon Ayuk is extended, if he's not extended, I'm saying Ricky Pearsall. So there's a caveat in this one. If BA is not extended, I'm going Ricky P. If BA is back playing week one, whether he's extended or not, and I don't think he will play if he's not, at least in the beginning of the season, I'm going to go with Pooney. I think he'll work his way into the lineup and be a factor.
Yeah. That's a great pick. I'm going to go with someone else for the same exact reasons. I think Renardo Green's going to work his way into the lineup. They'll probably start with Lenore in the slot and Isaac Yadam outside in the nickel defense, but he's had one good year. He's had a bunch of not good years. I'm not really expecting him to keep it going. Think he'll get targeted because where else are you going to throw on this defense? That's the thing. I don't know what was happening last year in New Orleans. Maybe they were picking on someone else, but I'd really like to know because here it's going to be him. They're not going after Treverius Ward. They're not going after D'Amino Lenore. It's going to be you all freaking game. Are you ready for that? And if not, I think Renardo Green's going to get his shot. And from what I've seen, he's one hell of a competitor who's not going to be like in the vicinity making tackles. He's going to be breaking up passes and potentially getting flagged for penalties. So if they want someone who's feisty and in the mix, it'll end up being him. I think he's going to be pretty good.
If that comes true, the Niners are going to be really good. They got a great DB room, and they actually need Renardo Green to step up. And another player I'm going to talk about later because, again, Charvarius Ward, D'Amino Lenore, both out of contract after this season, and there's no way they keep both. I personally think it's going to be D'Amino because he's younger and Charvarius is going to be very expensive, but they really need Renardo Green to be that draft pick where they chose him. They need him to be that guy. So I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, they really need Green and Pooney to contribute because the first round pick is straight up getting redshirted unless he's the punt returner. And he might be the punt returner, but I just don't think he's going to have much of an impact on special teams. I think if he's going to be a good player, it's going to be because of his route running and that kind of stuff, not like his ability to make people miss in the open field. He'll probably be like a sure-handed fair catch guy. And that's probably what we're going to see a lot of this.
Right.
From Ricky Pearsall this year. But other than that, I think Green and Pooney have the best opportunity to actually do something.
Let me ask you this. We talked about it a lot, but tomorrow the rookies are supposed to report to training camp. A week from tomorrow, everyone is supposed to be there. Brandon Ayuk's still not signed. I mean, it feels more and more likely to me he's going to be a fifth-year option. And that probably means he's going to hold in or hold out and not be there. And therefore, it might be an opportunity for Ricky Pearsall to do his thing. What do you think is going to happen?
I got a theory, and I don't know if it's true. Tell me if this makes sense or sounds right. Have the 49ers, there's been no reporting that they've upped their offer. All we know is they made Brandon Ayuk an offer that have insulted him. And he said so publicly. It's possible that what the Niners do, like, why do they do business the way they do? They give you a lowball offer, they insult you, then they wait for a long time. And so that when you finally get their next offer, it's a little bit better, maybe on July 30 something, you're so happy that you say, yes, I'll take it.
That might be their negotiating tactic.
Could that be something?
Okay. So, I'm sorry. Somebody in the chat said, Brandon, now you can add it to a story. All I see him doing is getting on a plane or getting off a plane. So I'm not sure exactly. Maybe I'm tripping. I don't see what the big deal is on that. I think you're right, brother. I think it's one of their negotiation tactics and what they do. And maybe he ends up signing over this next week. I mean, because this is the time, right? Like, sometime within these next 2-3 weeks, you're either going to sign him or he's fifth-year option. And that means most likely he's going to be sitting out some games. One thing I'm really happy about, Grant, is that most of this Brandon Ayuk talk is going to be over very soon.
I agree. I just have a feeling that the Niners think they're going to wrap this up, that they're going to present Ayuk with some offer in like 2 weeks. And he'll say yes, and they'll sit back and say, like, ha-ha, you guys all thought, and this is how we do business, and we never broke a sweat, and you guys need to give us more credit. Because it worked that way with Debo, right? They made Debo sweat. He was outraged. They gave him a deal on July 31st, 2 years ago, and he said, thank you very much. I want to be here. Forget the trade request. This is great money. I love it. So I think they think it's going to work again. We can do it the same way with Brandon Ayuk. And it either will or it won't. I mean, maybe Ayuk looks at the offer and it's $28 million a year with $33 million guaranteed. And he says, no, I don't like that. I'd rather play up my fifth-year option and see what I can get next year. Niners aren't counting on that. And frankly, I don't know if I'm counting on it either. He seems like he's ready to cave. And all he needs is like an offer. I don't know if the Niners have made it. I mean, we'll see. What happened 3 weeks ago when there was that meeting? Nothing ever happened.
Yeah, it was an explosive meeting, as I reported.
Explosive meeting.
In Niners version, things were said that needed to be said, which is the PR version of an explosive meeting. Like, there was a lot of things said. Nothing happened as a result of it.
You're going to play in the fifth-year option. Needed to be said.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Ayuk strikes me as different than Debo and Kittle and Nick Bosa. He seems pretty dug in. And for that part, you got to respect it. Like, he has a value on himself, and he's stuck with it so far. We'll see if he caves in. If I'm 26 years old, I'm definitely caving in. I would have caved in probably a long time ago. I want, because that's a lot of money. So to hold out for just a little bit more, it would be hard for me. I would have probably took that money, to be honest, at 26. But we'll see, man. I know I say we'll see a lot, but it's just really hard to predict what's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be the Niners thinking here. Like, you know, these are very young men. They haven't seen money like this. Sort of bust their chops all offseason, make them sweat it, make them think about what life's going to be like without a big extension. And then right when training camp starts, hit them with, you know what? We see it your way. We came around. We love you. Here is the deal you're looking for. And it's still not what you're looking for. Bosa, I wonder if last year they did that with him and he's like, No, sorry. And it went down to 4 days before the season started. If Ayuk is really about standing on business like Bosa was, he'll draw this out till September 7th.
To be real, man, like, if Brandon Ayuk does hold out or does not agree to an extension that he doesn't like, and he waits till next year and he comes back and plays the last 10 games for the 49ers, has a great season, he's going to make a lot more than he will if he signs this year.
Agree. But you know what? You know what's interesting, though? Like, he can't necessarily do what Bosa did. Let's say he holds out of all of training camp waiting for his... Like, I'm not going to practice. I'm not doing any of this without a new deal, like Bosa did. And then he either gets the new deal or he doesn't get the new deal. Week one comes around and he hasn't practiced at all. They're not just going to throw him out there. They're going to start Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
Ike will have to work his way back out there. He'll be back in the doghouse.
And it'll be interesting if Ricky balls out somehow. And he's just like, what do you do if Ricky Pearsall is out there just cooking? What do you do at that point?
then you give Brandon Ayuk a new offer and it's less than the old one.
You trade him to the Commanders. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you're really petty, trade him to New England. If you were being as petty as possible, where would you trade him?
You know, you would say the Browns and the Detroit back in the day, but that's changed quite a bit, huh?
New England would be rough.
New England would be rough.
Foxborough?
Yeah, that's rough.
It's the worst team.
Yeah. I mean, things have changed a lot. You know, a couple years ago, you wouldn't have said that, but now that's probably the worst one. But
it's too bad we can't reunite him with Jimmy Garoppolo. That would have been fun.
That would have been dope.
Don't you get the feeling that Davante Adams needed to give Ayuk a call before that season to find? He should have called someone.
First of all, I think you deserve a lot of credit. Look what's happening on this receiver show and what's being exposed about Jimmy Garoppolo. It's like there's some people covering this 49ers team that tried to sell you Jimmy Garoppolo for 5 years while our guy Grant here was telling you that he's not it for a long time.
A lot of people conveniently forgot that era of like, wow, a lot of people really thought Jimmy was special, but it turns out he was awful.
Turns out. I'm looking forward to it. I made a bet with Flav. He won 30 minutes on my show on Wednesday. So I'm going to have Flav on my show on Wednesday, but I'm very interested in talking to him about the recent developments of Jimmy Garoppolo. So I'm looking forward to that.
Man, I haven't heard from Flav in a long time. I didn't realize he was still doing his thing.
He just popped out of nowhere on my last show and reminded
me. Getting back into season form. Okay.
Yeah.
Who will be the 49ers' most improved player this year? Usually someone in their second year, but I'm expanding. It doesn't have to be.
Most improved player.
Last year, I would say it was Diamador Lenore, although it's up for debate.
Most improved. I think it's still going to be Demo.
Demo again?
Yeah.
I can see.
I think he's going to improve even further. This is his year, right? He's at that age, man. He's due for his first big contract, and he has just been continuing to improve year after year, and I can see him making another jump. I think by the end of this season, we'll be wondering who's better, Demo or Charvarius.
I like that. I'm going to go with Jair Brown. I feel like he's a stud. I think he's the real deal. And last year, he was playing strong safety in place of Talanoa Hufanga. I don't think that's his natural position. Just because I feel like a strong safety is a guy who makes plays sometimes behind the line of scrimmage. Either in the run game, a tackle for loss, or you can blitz him and he can get you a sack. I mean, he didn't make any plays behind the line of scrimmage last year while playing strong safety, but he was a ball hawk when he was playing the deep half or the deep center field. He looks like he has good instincts and enough speed to cover a lot of ground, and playing 17 games at free safety, I think he's going to create a lot of turnovers. Playing next to Hufanga is going to help him too. So I think Jair Brown.
I think that's a good pick. That's a really good pick, especially because of where he's starting. At his level, he's starting. Demo's already pretty high up there as far as what he's been able to accomplish. But Jair Brown,
this guy could have a Pro Bowl season. I'm saying he could be that good. Jair. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting, man. I
5-6 picks.
Jair, to me, when I watched him his rookie year, some really good things. And then some things you're left to be desired. Mm-hmm. But he was a rookie. And so if he can just put together those, like when he was good, he was good. And so if he can put more of that together, I could see you being right.
Yeah, I mean, in Hufanga's first full season as a starter, his second year in the league, he was an All-Pro. So let's see if Jair Brown can do something similar.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Anyone else you think would be in the running besides those two DBs?
There's a guy named Aaron Banks, I think. 49 fans seem to underestimate Aaron Banks. I think he's better than a lot of people give him credit for. But I think he can kind of more stand out this year. He can improve even further. I think, what did he give up? One sack last year, I believe? Something like that? Not a lot. Mm. He does benefit by playing next to Trent. But I think Aaron Banks is still on his way up. Another guy in a contract year. He might price himself out of coming back to the 49ers, which is unfortunate to me. That's another guy. Demo, Aaron Banks. Those are guys I fully expected the 49ers to extend coming into this season, and I think they're going to regret not doing that because both these guys might price themselves out and not come back to the 49ers after this year because they're going to be too expensive. So I can see Aaron Banks improving quite a bit this coming season.
I got one more. Jake Moody. Psych!
Now he could. I got another one too, but Moody could.
He could. I'm going to say D. Winters.
D. Winters is a good one.
I mean, Fred Warner said he had the best OTA of anyone on the team. If he's the next Dre Greenlaw, if he can step in and be like that type of a player, that would be such a... I mean, Devondre Campbell ain't it. I was looking up some stats for Devondre Campbell. He gave up 12 yards per target last season, and his average depth of tackle was 3.5 yards downfield. Both were among the worst numbers in the league. So he's 31. They need someone to step up, him or Jalen Graham. I'm taking Fred Warner's word for it.
I got one for you, man. Jordan Mason.
Did we just become best friends?
We did. I think we did just become best friends. Jordan Mason, man, like he's going to wipe out this narrative that he can't pass block. He's going to be a factor in the running game. He's going to surpass Elijah Mitchell and become the future backup running back behind Christian McCaffrey this season. I could see that.
Yeah, especially if McCaffrey misses some time this year, which he hasn't yet with the Niners. Someone's going to have to step up, and should be Jordan Mason. I like that.
Could be Jordan.
Joshua Wyatt says, the Brock Purdy hate isn't about Brock. It is an industry-wide fundamental failure to understand what quarterback attributes actually contribute most to team success, which is why he was picked last in the first place. I mean, yeah, I would have to say so. I would have to say so. Like, his processing ability wasn't properly assessed. His mobility and improvisational skills was either overlooked or undervalued. And his lack of arm strength was overblown, I have to say.
Yeah.
Not overblown because it really isn't strong, but it was like, it's not as important as people make it. It's not a deal breaker.
I mean, even according to Brock Purdy, the deep ball was not part of his game in college. Mm-hmm. He never showed that he could even throw the deep ball. And these are Brock Purdy's words, not mine.
It's true.
And he said that's the area he wants to improve. So, I mean, maybe it's a misevaluation, but I don't think it was, honestly. He doesn't have the strongest arm, and he wasn't throwing deep in college. It's something that he's been developing, but I think where the misevaluation was is the importance of that, even from myself, right? Like, it's really the mental part is the most important thing, and I think I undervalued Brock's arm strength or overvalued the importance of arm strength after Brock's rookie season. So I think I agree.
Matt Flores, realtor, says shots fired. Really? Yeah, I put that as the thumbnail, and it just occurred to me that that's probably in poor taste because of what happened a couple of days ago. So I'll change the thumbnail. I didn't think about that. Good point, Mr. Realtor. That's all I got. It's the show.
All I got. All right, brother.
Week from tomorrow, training camp. Not the first practice, but that's when the vets report. We'll have interviews on Tuesday and Wednesday. And those are my favorite interviews of the season. It'll be the captains of the team, and the questions will be like, so, you know, how excited are you to be back with your teammates? I'll be so excited to be back with my teammates. Oh, what kind of are you in the best shape of your? Oh, I'm in the best shape of my career. You know, really, those kind of answers, and I can't wait. I'm really excited.
Are you able to go to the rookie stuff?
We're not invited to that, unfortunately.
Okay. So the first time you're available to go is what, 23rd?
Yeah. So okay. That means I have 8 more days to golf.
Hell yeah.
I already got in 9 holes today. We'll see if I can get in another 18. That's up to Larry. I have to find out what time he's ready or when he can stream, because if I can get to Chabot at 3:30 today, I'm doing that. So we'll see.
My son is, just so you know, you play at Chabot a lot. I guess that's where they practice. So next year, he'll be practicing there. So you guys
what's up?
I'll say what's up.
Yeah, I will. The really tall, good-looking guy? Be like, oh, you must be Ryan's kid.
Yeah. He's a good-looking dude. I wish if I looked like him in high school, man, it would have been trouble. Because I did pretty good. I did pretty good looking like this. And if I looked like my kid, it would have been over with. Yeah.
Just the riz would have been crazy. I mean, it already is.
The riz.
See, guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.